Good morning. Glad to see all of you here today. Glad to have a new sheep in the fold. Jeff, obeyed the gospel. We just need one more. If you're ready, if you're close, hey, today would be a great day. There's not a better day going to come for you than today if you're close to obeying the gospel. And the water's still warm. They're still ready. So just let us know. Don't walk out here today without saying something to somebody. We're doing a series right now on honoring God. Talked about that last week, started it last week. This morning we're talking about honoring God through worship. And with that in mind, you might think, well, that's kind of an odd text to read to introduce a lesson on honoring God through worship. But I want you to go back to John 4, Jake just read for us, and see what's going on. You know what's happening in chapter 4. Jesus has been at the well, at Jacob's well, talking to this woman, Samaritan woman, and had a good conversation with her. And they talked about worship. But now the apostles who had left to go get some food have come back. It says, at this point, his disciples came and they were amazed that he'd been speaking with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why do you speak with her?" Can you imagine why those guys might not have been wanting to question Jesus too much about the things he did? So the woman left her water pot, went into the city and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all things I've done. This is not the Christ, is it? The Messiah. Is this him?" They went out of the city and were coming to him. Meanwhile, while she's doing that, this is what the disciples are doing. They were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." What was he talking about when he says, "I've got food to eat that you don't know about"? Had he been holding out on them? He had some energy bars and a couple of monster drinks, and you know, that wasn't it. He's talking about something completely different that they never would have imagined. "I've got food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples were saying to one another, "No one brought him anything to eat, did he?" And Jesus said to them, My food is what? My food, Jesus says, is to do the will of my Father, him who sent me. My food is to do his will and to accomplish his work. So if the question were to be asked, what's the most important thing to Jesus? Well, there it is. To do what his Father wants him to do. The woman had asked about worshiping. We worship in Samaria, Mount Gerizim, and you worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, the hour's coming when nobody's going to worship in Gerizim or Jerusalem, either one. But true worshipers are going to do what? They're going to worship him in spirit and in truth. He had just told her that a few verses before that. True worshipers are going to worship God in spirit and in truth. What's the truth? Well, in the same gospel, John's going to record how Jesus told his apostles, "I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he will guide you into all truth. He will show you all truth. He'll bring all things to your remembrance, everything that I have told you." And all of what Jesus taught them is what the Holy Spirit would guide them into. So in a little bit, we'll look at some of those things that they were guided into as far as worship goes. But who is worship for? Is it for us? I don't mean that to be a trick question. But we are not the object of the worship, are we? At least we better not be. Think about it like this. This is January. Come May, it's going to be a very important holiday that we celebrate here in America. It is called Mother's Day. You know, you don't even have to think about that. Mother's Day. What do you do on Mother's Day? Well, you honor your mother. How do you honor your mother? Here's a good thing to do. Ask your mama, "Mom, what do you want to do for Mother's Day?" You see what a burden that's going to take off you. You don't have to come up with anything. You don't have to imagine anything. You don't have to think of what to do. Just ask your mama, "Mama, what do you want to do?" Now let's just pretend that Mama says this. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to go down here to the Kentucky Dead Chicken place and get us some chicken. And we're going to go have a picnic. And we're going to play in the park. Now, how hard would that be to do if that's what your mama wants to do to celebrate Mother's Day? You want to honor her? She says, here's how you can do it. Let's go get us some fried chicken. Let's go to the park and have a picnic. We'll lay out on a blanket. We'll have a great time. And you're thinking in your mind, that sounds pretty boring. Now, you want to do something special for your mom. You want to give her something great. Now, here's the way we think. You see, I know what I like. I know what I like. You know what you like. Imagine me saying to my mom, now bless her heart, my mom's been gone to her reward with the Lord for several years now, but just imagine my mom were still alive, and I went to my mom and said, Mom, what do you want to do for Mother's Day? She said, well, let's go get some chicken and have a picnic in the park. And I said, well, Mom, that'd be nice. But Mom, here's what I like. I'm going to get you some camouflage. And I'm going to show you how to shoot a bow and arrow. And I'm going to get you 20 feet up in a tree. And we're going to sit there. We've got to be quiet. And then we're going to kill things. What do you think my mom would say? After I woke up from being smote on the head... Nobody would ever do that. That's just a dumb thing to do. You would never think, well, this is what I like, so I'm going to make sure I'm going to give this to my mom because she's going to love it. No, she's not. If you ask your mom what she wants and she says, this is what I want, do not question that. But Mom, what about this? Wouldn't this be better? No, hush. You have asked her. Now, the reason I use Mother's Day instead of Father's Day is because most dads are going to say something like, I'm going to go golfing. Get away from me. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go fishing. What? No, that's not really true of dads. But it's easier with moms, isn't it? Because you know your moms, oh, they're just so loving and kind. And they'll tell you, this is what I want to do. And you should be glad to do it because that's what your mom wants to do. And if you want to honor your mom, what are you going to do? You're going to do what she said. You're going to go to chicken place and get you some chicken. You're going to get a blanket. You're going to spread it out in the park. You're going to ask her, which park do you want to go to? And you're going to have a picnic and you're going to play in the park. That's what you're going to do. Why? Because it's for her. It's to honor her. Jesus said, I've come to do the will of my Father. I've got food to eat that you don't even know about. My food is to do the will of my Father and to accomplish what he sent me out to do. And so to honor God, and later on he'll talk about love. Chapter 14, he says, this is how I show I love the Father. I do what the Father said. So you want to honor your mom, you do what she says. You want to show people that you love your mom, you do what she says. Now if that's true with your mom, how true is that with God? When did God start teaching us about worship? We'll go all the way back to Genesis chapter 4. We've just talked about Jesus in John 4 talking about worship. Well, let's go back to Genesis 4. This is the fourth chapter of the Bible. It starts with Genesis. In the beginning, God created. And by chapter 4, sin has entered the world and sacrifices are being made. Here's how it's working. Uh-oh, I'm losing my Bible. Oh, it's only the preface. Not inspired. It says, now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, and she said, I have gotten the man child with the help of the Lord. What do you know about Cain? It's not good, is it? Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Now, without reading any farther, I know you know what the rest of it says. What should Cain have done at that point? What would have been the right thing for Cain to do? And you know it. Don't you tell me you don't know. The right thing would have been to do, oh, you know, I messed up. I need to ask God, what do you want me to offer? Well, here, I see my brother. He's offered from the firstlings of his flock and fat portions. That's, and God accepted that. That's what I'm going to do. Hey, brother, can I trade you some of my vegetables for one of your lambs? And he would have got things straightened out. As a matter of fact, God even asked him, the next verse is God asking him, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? Those are some good questions, aren't they? What are you angry about? Now here's why Cain was angry. He did what he wanted to do and it didn't work. You ever have that happen to you? You know the right thing to do, but instead of doing the right thing, you do what you want to do, and what you want to do doesn't work, and so you get mad. That was Cain. He did what he wanted to do. He did not do what he was supposed to do. He did what he wanted to do. And this is chapter 4, Genesis. God's talking about coming before him in worship. Abel does it right. Hebrews 11 says, Abel offered by faith. You know what that means? The only way you can offer by faith is to have some kind of a revelation from God. Apparently, God had instructed them what they were supposed to do. Why would God leave that up? When is the last time you read in the Bible, God said, y'all just do whatever you want to do and it'll be fine. God always says, here's what I want you to do. And how do you honor God? By doing what he says he wants us to do. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and that by the word of Christ. There had to be a word to Cain and Abel both, so that they would know what the right thing was to do. Abel chose to do what was right and honor his God, and God accepted that. He was pleased with his sacrifice. Cain chose to do his own thing. And God said, now that you're angry about this, why are you angry? If you do right, won't you be accepted? That's the question he put to Cain. And it's a question that rings through down through the ages. If people do right, God will accept you. That's what Peter said when the Gentiles were converted. Of a truth, I perceive in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness shall be accepted with him. When did he say that? He said that when Cornelius was about to obey the gospel, opening the gospel up to the Gentiles. You do the right thing, you'll be accepted with God. That's all we have to do. Go tell your mom you're going to take her hunting for Mother's Day. See how that turns out. No, agreed, there's probably a few in this audience who would say, all right. But for the most part, we know, no, that's not going to work. That's not going to happen. Well, that's not the only thing God has to say about worship. In Malachi chapter 1, this is one of the worst things in all of the Bible. And when I say worst, I don't mean that it's there's something bad in the Bible, but this is a horrible situation Malachi is telling us about. Now, Malachi is that short little four-chapter book that's the last thing in our Old Testament as we have it organized. It's right before that 400-year period of silence before God comes through his son Jesus Christ and gives us the Gospels. Anyway, Malachi chapter 1. See if you don't think this is a messed up situation. Malachi chapter 1, verse 10. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gates, that you might not uselessly kindle fire on my altar. Who's talking? God is talking. And let's set the scene. This is about 400 BC. What had happened about 100 years prior to this? Do you remember? The Israelites had been taken off into Babylonian captivity. And God had said, 70 years you'll be there in captivity, and then after 70 years I'm bringing you back. And so they had come back about 100 years prior to this. They had rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. They had rebuilt the temple. Everything was now a going concern. But this is the state of affairs spiritually. People had stopped honoring God in their hearts and in their minds. And when they do that, they stopped honoring God in their actions. And so God is saying, I wish somebody would close the gates. Stop building that fire on my altar. It's not going to amount to anything. I'm not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you. For from the rising of the sun, even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place, incense is going to be offered to my name, and a grain offering that is pure. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you're profaning it in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled. And as for its fruit, its food is to be despised. What? These are people not honoring God. They are not looking at what God has said he wants and saying, this is wonderful, this is great, this is how I'm going to please God by doing what he says. These are people who despise these things. They want to do it their own way. By the way, in Malachi, God quotes his people over and over and over again to say, let me quote you here to show you how evil you are. And that's what he does. It's just four chapters, and there's multiple quotes where God quotes his people to show them how messed up they are in their thinking about him. Verse 13 of chapter 1. You also say, my, how tiresome it is, and you disdainfully sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring what is taken by robbery and what is lame or sick, so you bring the offering. Can you imagine that? You're bringing an offering to God, and it's something you stole. I stole that, I'll take it to God. Or it's something that's sick. You got an animal in your flock or in your herd that's, well, we won't get into descriptive terms, but it's obviously sick. You know, sick animals can be pretty nasty. And you're going to bring that to God? That's what God says they're doing. Verse 14, cursed, cursed, cursed be the swindler who has a male in his flock and vows it, but sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. I'm a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is feared among the nations. And now this commandment is for you, O priests. Oh, wait a minute, the priests? The priests are the guys who ought to be getting it right, right? By the way, what are we? We are priests. We are a holy priesthood. Not me, not just me, not just Mike, not just Titus or Phil. You and I, all as members of the Lord's kingdom, are a holy priesthood. We are offering up sacrifices daily as we live out our lives in Jesus Christ. And here, there is a specific priesthood, and God is addressing those priests to say, you guys are really messing things up and leading the people astray. Verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2. If you do not listen, if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I'll curse your blessings. And indeed, I have cursed them already because you're not taking it to heart. Behold, I'm going to rebuke your offspring. I'll spread refuse on your faces. Oh, man, really? This is in the Bible? The refuse of your feasts, and you'll be taken away with it. And then you'll know that I've sent this commandment to you, that my covenant may continue with Levi, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace. I gave it to him as an object of reverence. So he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many back from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. And that, brothers and sisters, is who we are. We are now the priests of God. Not the priests under an Aaronic or a Levitical priesthood, but priests with one high priest. And who's that? It's Jesus Christ. And you qualify because of his blood to serve as a priest. You qualify to speak his name, to say his teachings, to influence other people and to lead them to Christ. Remember last week we talked about the word for honor, and it has to do with weight and magnification, making things large, and how that's what we do as the people of God. We speak to the folks of this world so that what we say to them will make God loom large in their eyes and in their hearts, that they'll see him as someone they may never have thought about before, because God doesn't come down and show himself in the form of a great bearded, muscled being. He shows himself to this world through his son, who came like a root out of dry ground, but with a word in his mouth that was powerful, that was warm, that was loving, that was kind, that united those who were drawn to it. And now he speaks to the world through you and me. And so when we talk about worship, we need to stick with the things that God has said, honor him. That's what Cain messed up with. He did not honor God. That's what the Jews had messed up with in Malachi. They had not honored God the way he wanted to be honored. So we look at the New Testament. Has God said anything about worship that we could follow? Well, Acts chapter 2, start there. It's preachers might call it, oh, that's really basic. Well, yeah, that's all we're looking for is basic. Kind of like a picnic with fried chicken in a park. Oh, what significance is that? You might say, well, if that's what your mom wants, that's what makes it significant. Acts chapter 2, the church has been established, the gospel's been preached, 3,000 people have obeyed, and this is what it says in verse 42. It says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, that's number one, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And I believe with everything in me that that breaking of bread is not talking about meals, because later on it'll talk about meals. This breaking of bread is what Jesus had given the apostles on the night that he was betrayed. It's the Lord's Supper. They were continually devoting themselves to these four things. The apostles' teaching. They needed to learn. They needed to know the Word of God, because that's what the apostles' teaching was. It was the Word of God that Jesus had given to them, and they were giving it to others. Remember Jesus said when he was praying in John chapter 17, he says, I don't pray only for these, Lord, speaking to the apostles, but for all those who will believe on me through their word. That's what the apostles did. They preached the word, and you and I have come to believe. And that's what we hope others will do. They will come to believe because you and I preach the word. So we stay with the word of God. We fellowship. We take the Lord's Supper. We pray. And there are other things not outlined here, but other things outlined in other places in the world. You know, in the Word, not the world. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and he talks about singing. And I don't know if you've ever thought of it like this, but when you read this, it's as if he's writing something to them that they already know. He's just encouraging them to do this, and here's maybe some more specifics, but it's not like this is a revelation that they've never heard before. Because the church in Ephesus was established, and it was strong. As a matter of fact, we have more written information about the church in Ephesus in the New Testament than in any other congregation. I find that interesting. So he writes to the Ephesians, and this is what he says in chapter 5, starting at verse 15. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk, that is, how you live, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine. That's dissipation. That's spreading all the good around wastefully. That's what dissipation is. But instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. So if you're wondering, well, how can I honor God? Well, here's a way. We read it in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we can stick with the apostles' teaching, we can fellowship, we can observe the Lord's Supper, we can pray, well, here we can sing. We can make melody in our heart. And as we've said before, it's a good thing because sometimes the melody here is not what we might want. But if what's coming out here is what God wants, who really needs to be pleased during a worship assembly? Who needs to be pleased on Mother's Day? See, it really only matters if you're making your mom happy on Mother's Day. That's all that matters. Are you happy? Who cares? It's not your day. It's not your day. It's hers. What about a worship assembly? That's for God. Now, is there fun stuff you like to do? Oh, there's all kinds of fun stuff I like to do. Who likes to watch movies? I like to watch movies. Who likes to watch movies? Whatever it might be that you like to do, go home and do that stuff. If it's good, wholesome entertainment, do that stuff. Have fun the way you want to have fun when it's your time to have fun. But what do we do when we come here? We don't come here to have fun. No, I'm not saying we can't have fun, but I'm saying that's not the point. That's not the purpose. We don't come here to be entertained. One of the things I don't like about our traditional concept of a church building is this, what we've got here. Here's the stage. There's the audience. It shouldn't be that way. Who's the audience here? Lord God Almighty is our audience. We're not performers, but we're worshipers. You know what both the Hebrew and the Greek words mean that are used for worship? They mean to prostrate oneself before the other. You bow down, you lay down, you put yourself down in humble honor to the one you are worshiping. That's what the words mean in Hebrew and in Greek. It's interesting, isn't it? To talk about worship, we're talking about bowing down before God. And we honor Him by bowing down with the things that He wants us to bow down with. One other thing we haven't talked about, it's introduced in 1 Corinthians 16, it's the offering. And in that particular context, it was an offering for saints who were about to suffer. And so they were taking up a collection. And then later on, when he writes the second letter of Corinthians, in chapters 8 and 9, he elaborates on that offering. And so the offering becomes something more. And so we see that, okay, well, Paul has led the church into this, so we do that too. But just like Lucas said, it's for the church. We don't bring folks in here to visit with us in our worship assembly and now give us some money. That's for TV preachers. It's not for those who believe in the Word of God. It's really not rocket science, is it? It's very simple. We come together to honor God, and so what do? We do those things that God says honor Him. We sing, we pray, we observe the Lord's Supper. We take some of our earnings and we give as we've prospered cheerfully because we're glad to give something back to God. All of these things we do simply because God says, that's what I want you to do. I'm showing you these things. And isn't it great? Aren't you grateful that God didn't say, every year I want you to make a pilgrimage over to Jerusalem? Now, that'd be great, have a trip to Jerusalem. But isn't it nice not to have to do that? Isn't it nice when you come, you don't have to drag any animals down here to kill? You don't have to rush out and get some turtle doves or some pigeons? You don't have to bring a grain offering? Somebody asks, is that GMO? That would be the fight between the liberals and conservatives if we still gave grain offerings. We don't have to do that stuff. What do? You show up. You show up with a grateful heart. You show up and you say, let's sing to the Lord just like He said. Let's pray to God just like He said. Let's observe the Lord's Supper just like He said. Let's fellowship with one another just like He said. Let's sit down and consider the Word of God together just like He said. And when we do things just like God said, if God feels, and I know He does because He gave us feelings, how do you think it makes God feel? I would think it would make Him feel honored. Because He's the one we're thinking about. He's the one we're trying to please. Like Jesus said, His food was to do the will of the Father who sent Him. What is our food? What feeds us? But to come together and to do the will of God in His presence and give Him the honor and the glory, to magnify Him in this world. Well, that's the end of this lesson. Two more to come, Lord willing. We'll talk about honoring God in being the church, being light and salt in cities on hill, and we'll talk about honoring God and talking to other people about Jesus. Those are the two lessons that are left in this series, and I hope you'll be here for them. And I'll do my best to make it worth your time. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement for anybody who might be ready to obey the gospel, or if you need a prayer to this congregation, you're the ones we're inviting and encouraging to respond this morning while we stand and sing together. Let's stand and sing.